The Youth's Instructor, October 31, 1895. Christ, the Youth's Safeguard. Conclusion. What privileges and blessings are granted to those who have obtained like precious faith with the disciples of Christ? Nothing is withheld from them. The Apostle says, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The standard is lifted up, and yet we are to reach it individually. We may attain unto glory and virtue, though weak, sinful mortals, by learning daily lessons in the school of Christ, by becoming conformed to the divine image, by manifesting His excellence of character, by adding grace to grace, by climbing round by round the ladder heavenward, by becoming complete in the Beloved. As we shall work upon the plan of addition, by faith adding grace to grace, God will work upon the plan of multiplication and multiply grace and peace unto us. We are to be diligent students in the school of Christ, having a knowledge of His will and becoming active laborers in His vineyard. The Apostle describes to us the plan on which we are to work. He says, Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. If our youth would take heed to the rules laid down in this chapter and practice them, what an influence they would exert on the side of right, whether they were at Ann Arbor, in our institutions, or in any place of responsibility. They would see this truth, and their life work would be successful. They would realize the need of being much in prayer, of being rooted and grounded in the truth, so that by precept and example, they might be living witnesses for Christ. They would then be like Paul, who, after his conversion, was a channel through which bright beams of light were shed upon the great plan of salvation. They would be workers together with God in reshaping moral character, and would be instruments through which the image of God might be retraced in man. They would respond to the working of the Holy Spirit and become one with Christ in God. No longer would the law which they have transgressed be a yoke of bondage, but it would be the law of liberty, the freedom of sonship. Having repented toward God, having exercised faith in Christ, they have experienced forgiveness and esteem the law of God above gold, yea, above fine gold. Jesus is the sin-bearer. He takes away our sins and makes us partakers of His holiness. Oh, what tender, pitying love dwells in the heart of Christ toward the purchase of His blood. He is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. There is power in these precious promises, and we should cooperate with the working of Christ, devoting all our God-given talents to the service of the Master, that the Holy Spirit may work through us to the glory and honor of Christ. Students should have a growing, expanding idea of what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to be a learner in the school of Christ. It means the connecting of soul, mind, and body with divine wisdom. When this union exists between the soul and God, we are taught of God, who gives wisdom and knowledge. His Spirit imparts thoughts that are clear and holy, and gives the knowledge that lives through eternal ages. Those who are consecrated, diligent, persevering laborers, putting to use every ability, employing all their faculties for the glory of God, who are not slothful in business, but are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, will reap an eternal reward. But it is our part to be courageous, to exercise firm faith in God. The end is near, and students should make most diligent effort to carry forward the work of acquiring knowledge that they may impart to others. If the converting power of God should come upon these souls, if they should come to realize that they need a power out of and far above themselves, they would not remain a day longer like mere machines, but would have a desire to work for God. Has the truth been lodged in the soul? Has the love of souls for whom Christ died become a living principle in their hearts? Unless they become vitally connected with God, they can never resist the unhallowed effects of self-love and self-indulgence and temptation to sin. If they were soundly converted to God, they would experience the love that dwells in the heart of Jesus, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it would well up like an irrepressible stream, refreshing their own sterile lives and refreshing all those who are connected with them. I long to address the young men and women who are so willing to reach only cheap standards. Oh, that the Lord might influence their minds to see what perfection of character is. Oh, that they might know the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. We are living in days of peril. Christ alone can help us and give us the victory. Christ must be all in all to us. He must dwell in the heart. His life must circulate through us, as the blood circulates through the veins. His Spirit must be a vitalizing power that will cause us to influence others to become Christ-like and holy.